Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Humankind, A Hopeful History is a 2020 nonfiction book by Dutch historian and public thinker Rutger Bregman. It belongs to the broad category of historical and social scientific argument, combining psychology, anthropology, economics, archaeology, and history to challenge one of the most persistent assumptions in modern culture that human beings are naturally selfish, greedy, and prone to cruelty. Bregman argues instead that cooperation, trust, and decency are not naive ideals but deeply rooted human tendencies with an evolutionary basis. The book revisits well-known examples and research episodes, including the Stanford Prison Experiment, Stanley Milgram's obedience studies, the Blitz, and the bystander story behind the New York murder case, often used to illustrate social apathy. Its purpose is not simply to defend an optimistic mood, but to show how beliefs about human nature shape institutions, politics, and everyday behavior. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a direct challenge to the Hobbesian view of human nature. The book's central intellectual move is to dispute the long-standing assumption that people are primarily selfish and require strong control to behave well. Bregman frames this debate through Hobbes and Rousseau, but he does more than restate a philosophical contrast. He argues that modern Western thinking has overweighted suspicion and underweighted the evidence for cooperation. This matters because ideas about human nature are not abstract, they influence law, education, policing, management, and public policy. If people are assumed to be inherently bad, institutions are built around surveillance, punishment, and distrust. Bregman's argument is that such structures can become self-fulfilling, encouraging the very behavior they expect. The book therefore asks readers to see optimism not as wishful thinking, but as a more accurate baseline for understanding social life. Secondly, evolutionary cooperation as the book's core explanatory framework. Rather than treating kindness as a moral exception, Bregman presents cooperation as an evolutionary strength. His account draws on research from biology and anthropology to suggest that Homo sapiens survived and spread not because humans were the fiercest competitors, but because they were unusually skilled at collaboration, mutual aid, and trust building. This framework gives the book its argumentative force. Human goodness is presented as adaptive, not sentimental. Bregman uses that premise to reinterpret social behavior, showing that groups often perform better when they rely on shared norms and reciprocity instead of constant competition. The emphasis on cooperation also helps explain why his book crosses disciplinary boundaries. He is not trying to produce a single scientific proof, but to assemble a broad case from multiple fields that points in the same direction. In this sense, the book offers a reinterpretation of human progress itself, locating it in collective rather than purely individual advantage. Thirdly, how famous psychological studies are reread as evidence of distortion. A major part of the book involves revisiting highly influential studies and episodes that helped build a pessimistic image of humanity. Bregman is especially interested in cases that became cultural shorthand for the idea that people are cruel, passive, or easily corrupted. By re-examining the Stanford Prison Experiment, Milgram's Shock Experiment, and the bystander narrative associated with the New York murder case, he questions whether these examples were interpreted too narrowly or too dramatically. His point is not that all such research is meaningless, but that the cultural conclusions drawn from them often exceed what the evidence can support. This is important because psychology has had enormous influence on the public imagination, and dramatic findings often become simplified into universal truths. Bregman's method is therefore revisionist. He shows that the story people remember may be less reliable than the broader historical context. The book uses this rereading to argue that cynicism can be built on selective interpretation rather than settled fact. Fourthly, historical episodes of solidarity are used to counter narratives of panic. Bregman does not rely only on laboratory studies. He also looks at real historical moments, including the Blitz and other crisis situations, to show that disaster does not automatically reveal the worst in people. In conventional accounts, emergencies are often imagined as scenes of chaos where social order quickly collapses. Bregman pushes against that expectation by highlighting instances in which communities cooperated, adapted, and sustained mutual support under pressure. This approach gives the book a practical historical dimension. It argues that disaster response is shaped not only by fear, but by shared norms and trust. The implication is significant for how societies prepare for crises, because public messaging often assumes selfishness and therefore encourages defensive behavior. By emphasizing examples of solidarity, the book suggests that institutions should design for cooperation rather than only for control. This does not deny human weakness, but it reframes crisis as a setting where prosocial behavior may be more common than popular stories admit. Lastly, the political and economic consequences of expecting the worst. One of the book's most distinctive claims is that beliefs about human nature affect social policy. Bregman argues that cynicism is not neutral when leaders, employers, and institutions assume laziness, selfishness, or dishonesty. They create systems that are more punitive, less trusting, and often less effective. This is why the book connects its argument about kindness to debates over inequality and basic income. If people are not fundamentally unreliable, then many restrictive policies justified by suspicion may be unnecessarily harsh. The same logic applies to the workplace, where status and control often matter more than trust and purpose. Bregman's broader political argument is that a more generous view of human nature can open space for better institutions because it reduces the need to organize society around fear. The book does not claim that every person is good all the time. Rather, it argues that policy built on distrust distorts behavior and limits what collective action can achieve. In conclusion, Humankind: A Hopeful History will appeal most to readers interested in psychology, social theory, history, and public policy, especially those who want a serious argument for optimism rather than a motivational slogan. It is useful for anyone trying to understand how assumptions about human nature shape institutions, from education and criminal justice to economics and crisis response. The practical benefit of the book is that it encourages readers to question whether systems built on suspicion are really the most realistic ones. Intellectually, it offers a cross-disciplinary challenge to a deeply entrenched cultural story about selfishness and decline. What distinguishes it from many books in the same genre is its combination of broad historical sweep, skeptical reading of famous studies, and clear policy implications. Instead of simply praising kindness, Bregman tries to show why trust, cooperation, and decency are historically plausible and socially consequential. That makes the book more than an uplifting reassessment of people. It is a structured case for rethinking the assumptions that govern modern life. If you would like to support Rutger Bregman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.